It sounded like, from what I heard, the big thing you're pushing right now is student enrollment, trying to get students to come here and then stay here. Do you feel that's accurate? I mean, that's the big thing you're pushing right now?
Well, that's certainly one of the big things that we're pushing. Our goal right now is to increase about 2% across the board in terms of 2% for first-time freshmen, increase 2% in terms of graduate students and transfer students. So that's our goal, to get the enrollment to increase and to get it to where we want it to be.
So how do you do that?
Well, we've started aggressive kinds of recruitment efforts, and you heard me say in my comments that recruitment and retention and recruitment, that's everybody's job. So many of the departments have their own recruiting plan, and we've increased our territories in the Chicagoland area. We've increased in terms of looking at Missouri. We now offer in-state tuition for our borderline states, which we will get more out-of-state students. Also, our goal is to have at least 1,000 international students here. So we're making all kinds of concerted efforts. We increased our marketing efforts in various areas. You see billboards, television commercials, even in the movie theaters in the Chicago area. So we're doing a lot of different kinds of things to increase and grow our enrollment, and so that individuals will be aware of the quality of academic programs that we do have on our campus and all of the opportunities that we have. And we often talk about our cost guarantee program, which is room, board, tuition, and fees. We're the only institution in the state that does room, board, tuition, and fees, and that is a big recruitment tool for us. And in terms of retention, we have what we call the Building Connections program, which is a mentoring program. It's on a voluntary base. I have 10 mentees, students that I'm mentoring right now, and so we found that those students who do visit their mentors and have connections with their mentors, that they come back at 85% in terms of retention as compared to those who do not, which is around 75%. We also have what we call our first-year experience, our FYE program, our first-year experience program, where we want students to make connections to the campus early on. The research has shown that students who connect to their campus early on, that they're more than likely to stay and graduate. So those are some of the things that we're doing to recruit us for recruitment also and in retention.
Haven't you also hired a recruitment firm?
Well, we had a recruitment firm here about 2 years ago, and they stayed for about 3 years. So we don't have one now, but we did at that time. And we've implemented a lot of the suggestions that they have recommended to the institution. And plus, our new Vice President for Student Services, Dr. Garrett Biller, has worked with retention, recruitment and retention. And we feel that we do have an expert right here among us. So he's done a great job there, and he's continued to do a good job. We have implemented the Western Commitment Scholarship program, where we're recruiting the best and brightest student as well as those mid-range students as well. So we now have a major scholarship program in place, and that's on our web. So students can look at their grade point average as well as their the ACT score and know exactly what they will be getting in terms of financial support in coming to Western Illinois University.
How long have you been without that recruitment firm, or when did their contract expire?
I think the contract expired about a year and a half ago.
Yes, I think that's about
it's been
right.
A while.
Yes, about
right.
A year and a half ago.
Do you feel you got your money's worth, or I mean, why was it not? Why were they not retained?
Well, when you bring our goal was to bring them in for a year or two. They actually stayed about, I think we worked with them about 3 years. And that's what you do until you get your plan in place, and then you implement that plan, and then you move forward. You don't keep the firm for such a long time. We feel that we've had around a 2% reduction in our enrollment as compared to many other institutions who had 5% and even 10%. We think that it's because we have been proactive that we have had such a minimum amount of decrease. So, but, you know, we know the issues, we know what we need to work on, and we will do that in order to get our enrollment where it needs to be. But we also have to keep in mind of the demographic shift in the state of Illinois and the number of students who do graduate from high school, that's dwindling. And also that only 66% of those students who graduate in the state of Illinois stay in the state as compared to larger amounts that stay in their state and other states. Plus, we have to make sure that we have incentives in place to draw those students to Western Illinois University.
Why do you think it is so many students leave Illinois compared to other states?
Well, we feel that we are pricing ourselves out of an education here for many of the students. And you look at other institutions in other states, they have all kinds of incentives for those students to come. And sometimes their tuition is not as high as the ones who are here, institutions in the state of Illinois.
You mentioned the fact that Western is one of the few, if not the only, university in the state that hasn't had any furloughs or layoffs at this point. You know, with the state continuing to deal with this pension situation, all the budget deficit. I know it's a difficult question, but how much longer can you keep that up? You know, without the layoffs, without the furloughs, before you know, and the tough decision has to be made that you have to make those cuts.
Well, that's a good question. Our goal is, as I stated, to have no layoffs and furloughs, and we have been trying to be we'll practice very sound fiscal management over the years, and we feel that if we continue to do that, we won't have to have any layoffs or furloughs, but at the same time, we'll have to cut back in various areas, and we will do as much as that as we can, but I guess the question is, how long can we do that if we continue to have these reductions in our budget?
And that's one of the things we're asking the campus to help us with, is what are areas we can cut in order to keep avoiding those? So where else are they seeing waste or areas where we can reduce or right-size in order to continue to avoid those?
Well, and if enrollment is dropping or has dropped over the years, I mean, is the staff the appropriate size? Or do we have a sized staff that you would expect with a higher student enrollment?
Well,
does that make sense?
Right. Yes. Right now, we feel that we do have the right size. If you're talking about a right size in terms of staff here at the university to address the students that we have, so we feel we do at this point. But you know, we have to take that case by case and looking at various. Areas, and we've had a number of retirements, and we haven't filled a lot of those positions. Last year we had retirement number doubled, and we had to hire because we want to make sure that we don't infringe on the quality of education that our students receive here. But we have held on positions and not filled those positions. That has helped us. We have combined areas. That has helped us, and so we feel that we have been successful because of the combinations that we've of cuts and reductions that we've made.
What would be the faculty and staff numbers today compared to a few years ago? You've talked about enrollment dropping. What about the faculty and staff numbers?
It's dropped just a slight amount because of what Jack was talking about, those retirements and those kind of things. So we've scaled back where we can through attrition. The other thing to understand is an institution like this has a lot of fixed costs. No matter how many students you hear, if you still have all the buildings open, you still have the same amount of people running the heating plant. If you have an academic program and you have one student in it or 10 students in it, you still need a base number of faculty to teach those students. So some of them are fixed costs. So they're about assessing programs and those kind of things going forward.
I know this is a different pot of money, but $550 million in deferred maintenance? I mean, how long can that continue before you start running into some serious infrastructure problems, or are you already?
We certainly are already running into those. In fact, Jack had mentioned also during the presentation that we've borrowed $33 million in the last 5 years to address critical deferred maintenance issues. And those things are steam lines, things that if a system went down on this campus, it would affect the entire campus. So we've addressed as much as we can, and the rest that we continue to look at on building-by-building basis. But that is a serious concern. out of that 550, half of that is the instructional side of the university and half of it is the auxiliary side. So out of that 225 on the instructional side, we identify those that are critical, those that are non-critical, or those that really need to look at on how and when we can afford those.
And can you give us an example of what deferred maintenance is? What would be a project or two that needs to be taken care of?
So one example would be the systems in our buildings, the plumbing and piping systems are most time original, and sometimes they're not up to code to where the codes are now, or our air conditioner systems, our chillers, are original to the building and they're 45 years old. They were all meant to last 30 years. So we're running right now on borrowed time for many of those. Some of those buildings have gone down and we've replaced. Some of them still we have to address those.
Regarding recruitment, do you feel, can you maintain academic standards? Will you have to lower academic standards in order to draw more students here?
No, we will not lower our academic standards. As a matter of fact, there's a proposal to increase our academic standards here. But we will maintain our academic standards. We do not feel that we have to lower our academic standards. We, as I mentioned about the Western Commitment Scholarship, we have brought in more high-achieving students than we've had in a number of years. As a matter of fact, in that top range where students have a perfect ACT or at least in the 30s and a perfect grade point average. Last year we brought in a great number of those students, and this year we have even more students because we've been advertising it for about a year now, for the entire year rather than just a semester. So we will not lower standards here at this institution.
Do you have an enrollment target? Is there a number you'd like to see the university achieve?
Well, with the growth in the Quad Cities, we are supposed to grow that campus to around 3,000 students. Right now, we have about 1,300 students there. That campus will grow to about 3,000 students, some even say 5,000. We're still reviewing that, and we will make some decision at some point. We haven't made a final decision right now. But right now, we are stating that we will always be somewhere for the next few years, somewhere between 12 and 13,000 students.
All right. Anything either of you wants to add? Well, I guess, do you have anything else?
Everything I wanted.
Okay.
You have anything you want to add?
Well, I just want to say that although these are very tough budgetary times, we are very optimistic about the future of Western Illinois University. We continue to be creative and innovative, and we cannot be an institution that stands still. We still have to move forward because we're still graduating students, we're still educating students, and we want to remain an institution that is on the cutting edge, that we want to be a competitor, continue to be a competitor, and for students not to choose Western just as their second or third choice, but we want them to choose this institution as their first choice because of the quality kind of education that we provide and because of our outstanding academic programs. So Western is well and alive, and although these are very challenging times, we are very optimistic about the future.
Now, you held this session this morning. There's another one this afternoon. You're asking for input from the university community. Will you at some point hold another session like this to share what you've heard from people?
Well, what we do normally is when we have these kinds of sessions, we gather the input. As I stated in my presentation, we have about the next session will be at 3:30 today in the Heritage Room, from 3:30 to 4:30. But when we gather the information, we sit down and then make a decision, and then we inform the campus community. We do send out a letter or something of that nature. And there will be smaller groups where we meet. I have what we call the President's Roundtable, which consists of a group of faculty. I have the President's Advisory Group. We have the Dean's Council. We have the Faculty Senate. So all of those groups, as well as the SGA, Student Government Association, and all of the other unions on campus. So we do inform them in some way, some form or fashion.
Why did you feel it was necessary to do something like this today? Are we at a critical point for Western?
Well, we're at a critical point in the state. The whole state is at a critical point. And we want individuals to know about the situation and to know the challenges that we're facing in terms of the budget. And it, when you come forward to give people a clear picture, they better understand. And we believe in shared governance. We believe in being transparent. And that's the reason we do come forward. And we don't have all of the answers. And it lets individuals know that these are critical times, and many people want to know what they can do to help. So that's the reason we came forward with this today.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.